Hello there and welcome. I'm James. I'm the pastor of the Glenwood Moravian Community Church here in Madison, Wisconsin. And this is The Essentials. It's our podcast to explore our faith, to discuss what's going on in the world, and take away some good news and some hope that we see. For this episode, I have our lesson and our message from Sunday, July 7th. Our gospel lesson came from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verses 1 through 13, and we read from the Living Bible translation. Soon afterwards, he left that section of the country and returned with his disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. The next Sabbath, he went to the synagogue to teach, and the people were astounded at his wisdom and his miracles because he was just a local man like themselves. "He's no better than we are," they said. "He's just a carpenter, Mary's boy, a brother of James and Joseph, Judas and Simon, and his sisters live right here among us." And they were offended. Then Jesus told them, "A prophet is honored everywhere except in his hometown and among his relatives and by his own family." And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any mighty miracles among them except to place his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he could hardly accept the fact that they wouldn't believe in him. Then he went out among the villages teaching, and he called his 12 disciples together and sent them out two by two with power to cast out demons. He told them to take nothing with them except their walking sticks, no food, no knapsack, no money, not even an extra pair of shoes or a change of clothes. Stay at one home in each village. Don't shift around from house to house while you are there, he said. And whenever a village won't accept you or won't listen to you, shake off the dust from your feet as you leave. It's a sign that you have abandoned it to its fate. So the disciples went out, telling everyone they met to turn from sin. And they cast out many demons and healed many sick people, anointing them with olive oil. Here ends the reading of our word. So we just heard Jesus get rejected in his hometown of Nazareth. On July 6th, the Worldwide Moravian Church remembered the martyrdom of John Huss, a Catholic priest in the 1400s whose movement saw him get rejected and killed. It would also lead to the beginning of the Moravian Church. And with their examples in our minds, I have to be the first to put my hand up and say that my experience with rejection when it comes to sharing my faith can't really compare to theirs. You can probably all agree that we can only imagine the challenges that they went through. It's not to say that our message is always received. It's not to say that we don't encounter difficulties, but I think I can safely assume that none of us has felt like our lives are in danger when we speak about our Christian beliefs. We do face our own rejection, though, and while it might not be to the scale of Jesus or Huss, it's still something we have to learn how to deal with. There are many small ways that our faith can be shut down in the modern world, small ways that are still incredibly frustrating. I can't tell you how many haircuts I have gotten in complete silence, because once the hairdresser finds out that I'm a pastor, the last thing they want to do is ask follow-up questions. Faith doesn't really make good small talk. For before my wife and I eventually met on a dating app, how many matches and conversations suddenly ended once I told them what I do for work. Once they learned that I was a pastor, they lost the ability to respond because faith wasn't something they wanted to discuss at such an early stage. It's not the end of the world, though. We get rejected for our faith in small ways throughout our lives, and as Jesus says, we shake it off. We keep going. It's when the rejection is more direct, when it's personal, then it's harder to just move on. It stings and eats at you and can make you second guess yourself. Two Sunday mornings come to mind as times when my preaching was met with rejection. Now, I welcome all kinds of feedback as a preacher, the directions I could have explored, questions that went unanswered, gaps in knowledge that were exposed. I'm not saying I can't take any criticism for my sermons, but there were two Sundays when I was told point blank that I was misusing the authority I had from behind the pulpit. The first came from a man who I knew saw the world differently, a bit differently than I do. We had challenged each other on several topics in the past. This was on a Sunday close to Juneteenth one year, and I preached about the ongoing need to combat racism in our society. That we remember the end of slavery, but this is not the finish line. And I mentioned how rural places, without a very diverse population, can have very limited firsthand examples of racism, but that doesn't mean it isn't still a huge problem. This was back when we were worshiping on Zoom because of COVID, and this gentleman left the worship service before my sermon was over. The second piece of rejection came from a woman who had been visiting our church for just a few weeks. I had just returned from Synod, our provincial gathering, and was sharing some of what we had discussed. This was nearing the end of Pride Month, so I shared that we had passed legislation that asked pastors to get more training and education when it comes to gender identity. How it's something that many of us have little to no experience with, and that we'd benefit from learning more to better understand the journey that people are on. And this woman stood up at the end of my sermon, in the middle of church, and said that I was telling kids they can identify as cats, and that churches that do so are doomed. She left during the hymn before communion. Now, in both of these cases, they were kind enough to send me an email voicing their frustration. Email I found right after worship that they had typed while worship was still going on. First, the man assured me that he had lived through much worse displays of racism and that I should be happy with the way things are. And the woman said that my generation has lost God and is giving in to the devil. Neither had a counter argument to provide. Neither shared a different interpretation of scripture or challenged the examples or numbers that I presented. Their message leaned heavily on the age gap between us, as I was about 40 years younger than they are. They shared that they weren't really inviting for more conversation, but just needed to expose how little I knew. They were more experienced, they were older, they were wiser, and I'm just young and foolish, some kid who has no clue what he's talking about. My perceived inexperience with the real world was all they cared about. And when I read their replies, I realized that they might have had an issue with what was being preached. But most of their anger was about who was doing the preaching. A kid who doesn't respect the pulpit, a member of an age group that has lost traditional morals and values. It was less about the message and more about some young kid telling them what to believe. The rejection that Jesus faces in his hometown is something similar. Now, he's obviously a much better teacher than I am, which is evident by the fact that the crowds actually liked his message. They're astounded by it. They admire his wisdom. They only get offended by him when they realize who he is. Isn't this Mary's boy? And this is said not in a way that says we've known him since he was little. He's Mary's boy, which means Joseph is no longer in the picture. Mary's boy would have stepped up when his father passed away to take care of his mother and his siblings. Mary's boy should be here working to support his family who needs him. Jesus is off starting a movement with his friends, traveling from place to place. He's turned down the responsibilities that he was expected to take on. He's chosen a different path. And in their eyes, he has abandoned his family. He's insulted them, left them to fend for themselves. His teachings might have been amazing, but none of that matters once they know who Jesus is. What he has to say will never be taken seriously because of the view they have of him. So he's rejected, with his only fault being that his hometown knows too much about him. And friends, we face rejection of the same kind in this life. No matter what we have to say, some won't hear it because we're too young or we're too old. They'll delete our argument immediately because we're Republican or Democrat. They'll brush off our input because we aren't educated enough, we don't have enough experience. And as we share our faith, as we preach hope and love, some will reject it, because they've made up their mind about the church. Some will throw our message away because we're part of the wrong church. And quite often, what we have to say won't be heard at all. It won't be given a chance because of who is saying it. And when that happens, we follow Jesus' example. We shake it off and we move on. He doesn't retaliate or seek vengeance. He doesn't stick around to try and change their minds. He goes in search of someone who will receive him and his message. There are others who will listen, others who need to hear the good news. And time is better spent sharing our truth with them than arguing with someone who has already made their decision. Knowing that the two who rejected me wouldn't truly hear what I have to say, I gave my energy to those who heard the same sermons and had questions, desired conversation, even challenged me, but were willing to listen. I saw the value in dialogue and growth over the trap of getting stuck in a never-ending argument, something that happens so often in our very polarized society. And I replied to their emails with a tone that I think is helpful whenever someone won't listen to you with an open mind. Thanks for sharing your point of view with me. See you next Sunday. Amen. I appreciate you listening to this week's episode. You can learn more about the church that I serve, the Glenwood Moravian Community Church. You can find our website. You can follow us on Facebook. Join us for worship on YouTube. And if you want to learn more about the Moravian Church, you can go to moravian.org. Take care. Be well. I'll catch you next time.